Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Progressive Britain Podcast Extra Show, a short supplement to our main weekly episode looking at a relevant issue of the week. I'm host Connor Pope, and I'm joined by Progress Deputy Director Stephanie Lloyd. Today, we're going to be looking at Tory conference and the war of Boris versus May. First, though, it's our birthday.
It's our birthday. It's not our birthdays. Mine's on the 17th of November. More than happy for you to send me presents.
I'll be logging into your digital banking before you know it. it's the birthday of the Progressive Britain podcast. We started it in early October last year, and it has now done 52 weekly episodes and 52 extra shows and a few specials along the way.
Cheeky couple of ones as we've thrown in there, but no, it's been amazing. How's the year been, Connor?
I think it's been great. I've been looking at the analytics this week,
and been doing the data.
Yeah, we've had a couple of big jumps in listens over the You know what's really surprising? You kind of expect when you have a bigger name on that a lot more people will listen to an episode, and actually that doesn't. Oh, sometimes it does correlate, but that doesn't always seem to be the case. And it seems that people just, bizarre in this the new world of social media, I don't know if you've heard about it, but people just share the stuff that they like and then other people listen to it. It's incredible.
What ones have been the most popular?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Oh, jeez.
anyway, let's
move on from that failure of a question.
It's not. You can see the sheet of paper that I've got in front of me, and it's not on there, is it? So how would I know?
I've discarded the one you gave me. That's fine.
Anyway, Tory conference. Let's move straight on to that. Yeah. Considering I've culled that last conversation, Theresa May's speech was obviously the main. Because it felt like Boris Johnson's speech was going to overshadow it. But actually, I don't think in the end it did. So what did you make of the kind of two speeches and who came out of it strong?
I don't think it did. I've painfully watched both at length. I mean, I don't think you can talk about Theresa May's speech without talking about her entrance. Firstly, great song choice, although I'm sure Abbott aren't going to be particularly impressed. But my favourite, I mean, I spent all of last night then watching all of the brilliant... This is when Twitter comes into its own, right? Mm-hmm. This is when the internet does well and all of the parody videos that immediately came of her dancing. My favourite so far is her dancing to Thomas the Tank Engine, which I just played to Connor before we started this and is constantly stuck in my head now of the little music.
Everything that I'm saying is over the tune of... we may have to play royalties for me having done that now. I don't know.
We'll see. I think his speech wasn't what people thought it would be. I think you saw quite a few people's reactions as he came out. It didn't feel particularly prime ministerial. It certainly felt like he was kind of parking his tanks in distance, but certainly, you know, so he could see, but not in the way that was like, I'm coming for you immediately. Mm. I think mostly because I think everybody just wants to let her do Brexit, let that deal with that, and then they will bunt that, and then they will eat themselves afterwards in terms of a leadership contest of how that works. But actually, I mean, don't get me wrong, her speech made me just cringe and want to roll over constantly. And also, when you've set the bar quite as low as she had set for the last one, it's like, if someone doesn't hand me a P45 halfway through it, it's a success. But she was clearly trying to set out a level of policy direction that wasn't just Brexit. Do I think it's right for the country? Absolutely not. But yeah, it all felt a bit stagnant. And the thing that I just think of when I think of Tory Party conferences was that empty hall of everyone just like nobody's there watching.
Yeah.
It's just, it feels totally what the Conservative Party are, which is like a party of a kind of small elite group of people and not particular participation in it.
I'll admit that I tend not to watch an enormous amount of the Tory Party conference. I watch the big speeches from the big names, but the rest of the time, and obviously I've never been, I don't really know what happens. Like, I understand Labour Party conference, and the delegates, their emotions, you debate them, you vote on them.
It's just chat.
They just have a big room where people do speeches.
Yeah. Which is obviously why no one's there. It also costs £500 to get a pass. Why would you not go on holiday? Which clearly is what everybody else does, because nobody was there.
Just for a member's pass.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. But that's the thing though with Tory Party conferences. Like most of the MPs don't even go. Yeah. Like, it does just feel a bit of a redundant thing that they kind of feel like they have to do. And actually, to be fair, the one thing I much prefer about Labour Party conference now, I'm going to give a shout out to Jeremy Corbyn and what they've done in that sense, but in the sense of the point where you just sat and watched and listened to loads and loads and loads of speeches was really boring. Like, it did get really dry. And actually, one of the things I think they've done that's really good is introducing far more time for delegates and people to come up and make contributions and it'd be much more vibrant and active in that sense. I actually think it's a really good thing.
So just coming back to what you said about the lots of Tory MPs don't even go to the conference. There was a brilliant story on Conservative Home this week.
Oh, you loved this, didn't
by,
you?
By Mark Wallace. And essentially the Tory membership system is so bad and dysfunctional that a Tory MP who he doesn't name but says he's a senior minister now, applied for his conference pass because he'd not been to conference for years, applied for his pass because he now has to go because he's a senior minister. And they went, you're not a party member. And he'd just not noticed, and his local association hadn't noticed.
Right, but this is the party that are going to do the technological solution to solve the Northern Irish border issue, right? Yeah? Don't even have their own, can't even come up with a system that means that their own ministers are members of the Conservative Party. But, you know, they're going to solve all of our problems with technology.
To come back to Theresa May's speech for a minute, the entrance, obviously, and it feels kind of bizarre to talk about her entrance because she then did an hour and 10 minutes or whatever it was of, you know, a speech about the future of the country. But frankly, given that she's not going to be prime minister for that much longer.
Literally, what's the point?
But I think that actually explains the beginning, doesn't it?
Yeah.
She clearly is someone who now recognises that she has nothing to lose and kind of can live and act as someone with nothing to lose. And I wonder if that makes her a better politician, because it felt a bit like Jeremy Corbyn felt that freedom during the general election last year, that he felt that
expectations are so low, all you can do is succeed from it, really. And I think when the only thing that people think you're going to do is fail, it does give you a huge sense of freedom in that sense. And I think you could tell it. And like, you know, I find the dancing slightly endearing, as many people I'm sure who also are not very good at dancing do. It's the only thing that I think she does represent me in. But even I'm slightly better than that. But like the opening gags and all the rest of it, like, I think it was right for her to kind of do a bit of that, a head nod to it. Because I mean, but last year's was mortifying. Like, I genuinely still cringe when I think about her speech from last year. Like, it was tragic. So I think, you know, I think whoever did it, literally, I mean, you know, they've milked the dancing thing for, I think, all it's worth now.
Yeah.
And hopefully that won't have any more outings. But, you know, I think also though, when you have given an hour and 15 minute speech and the only thing people want to talk about is the fact you did some awkward dancing at the beginning, pretty bad when you're the Prime Minister.
The big question then, I think, is austerity over? Because she said, you know, ending austerity is the thing that we're going to do now.
What a joke. Like, of course it's not over. Like, the difference is they are ideologically wedded to it. There were so many things that they did under the guise of austerity that were just a drive through their ideology under the umbrella of, look, guys, we really need to do this for you. This is in the best interest of the country. And definitely weren't. I don't think it's over at all. I don't think Philip Hammond particularly would let it be over in that sense. I think they will start to try and move away from the rhetoric of austerity, but I don't think in any form of actual practical delivery that will change. And you saw Liz, I mean, did you see, there was an interview with Liz Truss where they asked her about councils and how they were struggling and what they could do for local authorities. And she basically denied that council budgets had been cut. I mean, look, I live in Lambeth. We've had 50% of the council budget slashed over the last 8 years. And she was just like, no, we've just allowed them to increase borrowing. And it's the bit where it's like the level of delusional kind of politics in terms of the Conservative Party at the moment is actually quite farcical and slightly scary.
Because the other reason that... these promises that she makes about ending austerity and stuff like that. Basically, there are two elements to her speech. And one of the elements was Brexit. And it's like, none of that means anything. Steve Baker said on television on Wednesday night that at least 40 MPs would vote against something that looks like the Chequers deal and possibly as many as 70 or 80. Mm. Like, there is no chance of that getting through. So the Brexit part of your speech, frankly, is irrelevant. But because the Brexit element of your premiership is so unpopular and the fact that you did so badly in the 2017 general election means that we all know that this was your last ever conference speech as Tory leader and therefore Prime Minister. So all of the stuff that's not about Brexit is also completely irrelevant. You can say that you're ending austerity, but it's like, you don't have much say in it. It's definitely
going to be in 3 months.
Yeah, it's definitely the next person's thing. And what we know about that is that if Boris Johnson gets to the final two, then it's almost certainly going to be him. 1,500 people went to see him do a speech, which I zoned in and out, I'll be honest.
Oh, it wasn't thrilling. I mean, there was a sizable chunk on Peru.
Yeah, the Peru stuff. Slightly on. His argument on Peru was that he went to Peru as foreign secretary, and did you know that no foreign secretary has been to Peru in 50 years before that.
Therefore, we should leave the EU.
And yeah, and it was the EU's fault. It's like, well, I mean, France and Germany are also a lot closer than Peru. That doesn't seem... It didn't seem... There is this kind of like vault of logic that is impenetrable to Boris sometimes. And it feels like he was... It almost felt like it was a gag, but he seemed to be playing it seriously. And I kind of, I don't know where all of that goes. And do you think he'll be the next PM?
I bloody hope not, if I'm honest. But
if I'm honest. Unpopular opinion. I don't even like Boris Johnson.
Most popular opinion ever. The only reason I think he might not be is I struggle to see how he gets enough support from the MPs. Mm. And I think because there is such a move, like, it's the one thing the Tories know how to do is cling to power, right? And the one thing they are furious at Boris about at the moment is it is all about him. It's never about the party. It is about whatever works best for Boris, right? Which is why he goes all over the place on all different kinds of issues. While he both backed and wanted to leave the EU at exactly the same time and flip-flopped all over the place on that until he fell down on the wrong side. And I think they're worried with that. Well, it will just become the Boris show. It will not be about them as a party or the institution or anything like that. And that's, for me, the only thing that I kind of hope and pray the Conservative MPs kind of stop that from being something. But I cannot see a situation where, you know, who is the kind of staunch leaver in that sense and the anti, you know, the kind of pro-Brexit, hard Brexit candidate in that sense. If it's not him, what, Jacob Rees-Mogg? I mean, give me strength if that is the situation we end up in. God, it's bleak. Stop making me talk about, oh wow, they're just depressing. It was just pathetic. Like watching that conference, I literally just couldn't help but like laugh about in my chair constantly. I was like, it was just like pans of empty rooms and like awful conference halls and all the rest of it. And I was like, you know, when you manage to make Labour Party conference, which can at times be truly baffling in and of itself and always has been, look like the place you want to be 100%. It's just like, they're just pathetic. They are just tragic at the moment as a party.
So Labour won conference season then, you think?
I definitely think so. I think it came out with a far more succinct Brexit policy, far more interesting, even if I don't necessarily agree with all of them, at least some more interesting policy developments. And there's a vibrancy about Labour in comparison to Tory party conference that is just laughable in comparison.
You don't like Boris Johnson? Labour had a better conference than the Tories. You're just firing off unpopular opinions all over the place, eh?
Can I just say one very, 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 very briefly?
Fine.
My favourite moment of Tory party conference was when I was sat watching Channel 4 News and they were filming this little lad handing out badges that said Chuck Checkers, which is difficult to say in and of itself. And he was handing out all these badges. And this woman literally just walked up behind him and just like smacks the bag out of his hand and was just like, chuck that. I was like, what am I watching? It was brilliant. If you've not seen it, go on to the world of the internet and find it. It's brilliant.
I'll try and put it in the links underneath the show today. Finally, before we go, Alison McGovern obviously hosted the show earlier in the week. She did the pub quiz question. She asked who resigned from the cabinet in late October 1998. I know that you're looking at the answer on the sheet currently, Steph, but do you know the answer?
The answer was Ron Davies. Are you trying to tell people I don't know? Who resigned after being mugged at knife point during a moment of madness?
Yeah, the famous moment of madness quote that he gave after resigning. That's all we've got time for today. Please do remember to send in any comments and questions that you have. Leave a review, rate and subscribe on iTunes. Thanks very much for listening. You've been listening to the Progressive Britain podcast with Connor Pope and Richard Angel. The music is When in the West by Blue Dot Sessions, licensed under Creative Commons, and this episode was produced by Carolyn Crampton.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.